Just check that if somebody online can just check that you can hear me okay. Great, thanks, Kimberly.
Yes, Owen, I can hear you as well.
And we can hear you, Peter.
That's good.
Okay. Thanks everybody, both online and in the room for joining us this morning. Do I need to be a bit closer? I've got the chat up. Okay. And my name's Owen Stevens, and I'll be running this session with Joe, who is also in the room with me, with us, and Peter, who is on Zoom with us. For those who have the SCED app, the SHED app, depending on how you want to pronounce it, if you want to check in to the session on that, then they've said that that helps them kind of for future programming know how many people attended, because I think we have about 94 people who said they were going or they were interested, but I guess that won't convert into 94 people actually attending. So although it's a good healthy attendance, thank you. So I hope we can have a great session on working with serials in Folio this morning. And while there are still people coming into the room here, I think let's get started. So let me remove that. So we'll start with an introduction, which I'll pass over to Peter to make the introduction. And Peter, if you just want to tell me when to move on to the next slide, I can do that for you.
Yeah, that's fine. That will be the best solution, I suppose. Yes, hello everyone in the room and in the Zoom meeting. I'm sitting here in Germany in my home office, and I try to give you an introduction to our session on serials here for WolfCon 2025. In Folio's early days, serials were only handled in orders and receiving, but we realized soon that serials and especially subscriptions needed enhanced functionality, for example, prediction of expected pieces and for a certain period. And there was common interest in many German libraries, but also in the whole community. So Common Library Network, which is the GBV, the company that I'm working for, and Duke University started funding the development of the Serials app in 2022. And after Duke retired from Folio, GBV has remained as the only funding institution for Serials. We are working with Knowledge Integration and Owen Stevens, who is a product owner for Serious development, and these are our development partners. Serious management app is available since 2024 and in the Quasnelia release, and we already presented first results at WolfCon last year. Serious and receiving go hand in hand. Predicted pieces are generated in Serious as well as receiving pieces in the receiving app. Claiming and bindery are closely related to serials functionality, since you have to claim expected pieces which are overdue in receiving, and you only can bind pieces that have been received. So you can see the workflows need an interaction between these apps, and that is why we are closely working together with the EBSCO team that is leading the development of the acquisition apps, especially receiving, and Joe Reimers, who is also presenting today as a PO from EBSCO, is covering today these aspects of serious management and of our presentation. But apart from that, there are also some other areas of Folio related to serious, for example, metadata management. How does the connection and presentation of bibliographic data for serial records work, and which impact does it have on our workflows? And resource access, of course. What about presenting serial pieces or items in the discovery system and make them available to the reader? Yes, and maybe some other areas that we are not yet thinking of too. And for these reasons, we are glad to get the opportunity today to reach a broader community and perhaps to receive input for some aspects that have not yet been in our focus up to now. Owen, please, the next slide. Yes, our presentation today covers the current state of the Sirius Management app. This is Owen's part. And then we will pass over to Joe, who is telling us something about receiving, claiming, and bindery. After that, we will have time to present our next development plans and also what goes on beyond this after the developments that are already scheduled will be finished. What is still missing and what are the priorities? And one very important aspect, what about the funding? It's not the funniest aspect, but it's also always very important. How can we get can we be sure that new development steps will be funded by the community? Yes, next slide, please. Yeah, there will be enough time, I suppose, for your questions and for a discussion about the topics that are already mentioned and about anything else that may come up to your mind. Moreover, we have established a short time ago a new serial subgroup of the acquisition SIG that can serve as a place for detailed discussions. And here are already mentioned some links to this serial subgroup, and we are meeting every 4 weeks, but I think that will be part of our discussion at the end of this meeting. So, and I think that's enough as an introduction, so I'm handing over to Owen to continue.
Thanks very much, Peter. So yeah, we'll start, as Peter said, with just talking about what the current functionality is. So I guess of as of the Sunflower release or up to that. And I'm going to talk about specifically the Serials app, and then I'll pass over to Joe to talk about aspects of receiving and related issues. So, as Peter said, the initial release of the Serials application or Serials Management application was in Quesnelia. And since that initial release, that the Serials application does something very specific. It's quite focused in its development. And that was because at the start of this process, we had very specific issues we needed to manage to deliver for that work. So it has a concept of a record, which we call a serials record, but it's a very minimal kind of object in the system. It doesn't really do very much except to link between orders for serials and publication patterns for serials. So the main functionality, or the only real functionality in the Serials app or the Serials Management app at the moment, is creating those links and creating the publication patterns. So a publication pattern is used essentially to define how often a serial is published and how the issues of that serial are labeled. So with that, rather than having to create each issue as it either as it arrives or in advance of its arriving, the publication pattern will automatically generate a list of serials based on the information you've input. So, you know, in a very simple example, you have a monthly publication that is published on the first of the month and is labeled January 2025, February 2025. Then if you set up a publication pattern with those details, then the system will automatically generate a list of 12 issues for the year with the correct labels, which can be then used to create the receiving pieces in the receiving app. So Joe will talk a bit more about the receiving app, but essentially that's why we need the link to the order. So the receiving record is linked to the order as well. So essentially, when you link together the serials publication pattern with the order, strictly speaking, for those of you who are in acquisitions, it's an order title, because a single order can sometimes have a package of titles related to it. So it's very specifically an order title. It will create those receiving issues for that, and that is the basis of the serials application. When we were doing this development, we talked much more broadly with the development partners, who were initially Duke and GBV, where Peter is based, and then once, as Peter says, once Duke had sadly decided to go a different way with their library system implementation, working with GBV, there were definitely areas that we knew either were lacking in Folio. So there were aspects of, say, claiming for issues as they were published, or dealing with more sporadic issues, so standing order style, ongoing orders, things to do with binding, things to do with claiming, that we both like either didn't prioritize in the initial implementation, or were already part of development in other areas, which is where we talked to Joe. And I think one of the big challenges here is about the fact that the necessary functionality to manage serials is, by its nature, spread across multiple applications. So since that Quesnelia release, that basic functionality has had what I think are quite important, but to be fair, relatively minor enhancements in the Ramsons and Sunflower releases. So we focused on taking that functionality that we originally delivered and improving it. So I think especially the way of creating publication patterns, for those of you who've worked with the system at all, I think you'd say like it's quite complicated to create a publication pattern. And so we've worked hard, and especially in the Sunflower release, really excited to have what we call publication pattern templates, which allow you to set that up, a say monthly publication pattern once, and then reuse that across multiple cases, or at least to fill in those the main parts of a publication pattern without having to re-enter data all the time, and also to make it possible to edit existing publication patterns and manage the process of creating and receiving pieces. I'll just move this as it's covering a little bit of the slide. So in terms of creating the receiving pieces, there's kind of a two-stage process at the moment. I'll talk a bit more about that when we talk about the potential future developments. But you create predicted pieces, which are what's generated by the prediction pattern, and then you use each predicted piece has an equivalent receiving piece, which is created. So the predicted pieces sit on the serial side of that, the serials application side of that divide. The receiving pieces are in the receiving application. And so we've started to work at making it easier for that prediction pieces to reduce the number of times maybe you'd need to do the prediction by allowing you to predict several years in one go, because it was originally essentially 1 year at a time, or one cycle of issues at a time. So now if you've got, annual publication that you know you're going to be taking for the next 5 years, you can just say, okay, let's create 5 years worth of this annual publication, rather than having to do the same process every year and repeat that. There's still more work to do there, and I will talk about that in a moment. In terms of you may questions about it, I guess we maybe save questions until the end, so you've heard like the whole story before we get to it. I hope there's plenty of time. We're very enthusiastic to have lots of time for discussion and questions at the end. So I shall take that opportunity to pass over to Joe.
Thanks, Owen. I'm going to try to remain relatively concise in all of this, but we did add basic bindary functionality in the Ramsons release. So if you are on Ramsons, you should have that. It does require that there be a bindary flag set in the purchase order line for that title. There are a couple of requirements that are associated with that. So for instance, if you're going to send it to a bindary, it will automatically set the piece to it'll send it to independent ordering and receiving quantity, and will force an instance order item inventory interaction. The reason for that is because it has to create a new item, and we don't want that impacting your encumbrances. And because if you're binding, you're going to be creating an item. So in order to make it all work, there has to be an item, which means there has to be the inventory interaction, and we don't want to risk it throwing off the encumbrance logic. That's why we do that. The bindary functionality does support both items and receiving pieces. So you have the choice. You can create an item record when you receive it. You don't have to. Bindary works with both. If you do create item records and you allow holds on those item records, it will manage the hold transfers as well. A newly bound item, if you're merging multiple pieces into a single bound item, it does keep track of that whole history. The instance or the yeah the holdings and items show everything that's been merged together. It's a little bit of a manual process, but you can. You do have the opportunity to undo the binding action and then redo it. You can also manually say an item has been bound simply by ticking the bound checkbox, and then it'll force a bindary thing. And within the receiving interface, it will show related bound items. So once you've bound a year's or several issues together, there's a new accordion on the bottom that will show barcodes with links to the associated item records. As far as claiming is concerned, we have made some really big enhancements there. So we introduced basic claiming functionality in Quisnelia, in which you can designate pieces as being, well, they will become late, and then you can set them to a claim status, but you have to generate that claim itself. For Ramsons, we created a new claiming interface. So it will show up at the top of Folio. If you have permissions, it will show claiming. And we've added a new claiming integration type into the organization record. And we wrote scripts that will allow this. And then we wrote a critical service patch fix because the migration script missed something. So by the time you get it, it will be fine. We've done that. But basically, the claiming integration allows you to define how you want those claims to work within the claiming interface. Because generating, unlike placing an EDIFACT order, which can be scheduled, claims are immediate when you generate them. Because right now, the claiming does require manual approval. There is a conversation, which we can talk about later, about whether we want to automate that completely. There are arguments both ways. Different libraries will want to do different things, but so far we went for the to make it work, we went with the mediated approach to begin with. But we do support both EDIFACT claims as well as the generation of a CSV file of claims that contains the same, they both contain the same information. But just like you configure an EDIFACT integration for orders, you can create one for claims. In fact, you can take that order integration and duplicate it and switch it to a claim integration. And it will just work it and send it to the appropriate account via SFTP. We did test the EDIFACT claim files with EBSCOnet, and they said it's working. So as far our tests have shown, it works the way it's supposed to work. So we're very excited about that. This should simplify things greatly. I don't think I put in a screenshot of the claiming app, but it is a dedicated app that shows all of the pieces and allows you to do things in bulk. And we do have things sorted by default so that when you do a claim, if you just say, give me everything, it's going to break it into separate files by vendor. So you don't have to do that manually. So that, in short, is where things stand with both Bindery and claiming. And now I'm going to do with what is upcoming. And we're going to stay in there. Binding is, other than that service patch, I think it works pretty well. So waiting for feedback from you, everyone, to see if it works the way it needs to. Receiving, though, we had a recent discovery. So Owens, the prediction patterns work great. They generate receiving pieces the way we want to. So you have your quarterlies and your monthlies. It's awesome. What happens when you get 5 copies of the New York Times and you want to track those on a daily basis? You're getting about 1,000 receiving pieces, which one by one is fine. But if you're using the receiving app and you're going into the receive function, which opens a full screen receiving, that loads every single piece. We do not want to load 1,000 pieces into that page because it will bring Folio to a screeching halt. So we are adding, actually imminently, I think we're putting it into a Sunflower service patch. If you have more than 60 receiving pieces, it will automatically bring up a prompt to select an expected date range. So that, and we're doing this just to keep things moving. So you'll have a date range. And I'm assuming if you're receiving, you have the pieces in hand. So we're doing that, and you can just select the date range for the receiving pieces. I'll just leave it there. Okay. Come on, go back. And basically, we'll just load that, and then you can receive those pieces for that. And if you need to do multiple pieces, you can do multiple pieces. It is a little bit unusual in that if you have a whole bunch that are late, and you, like, if I have, you know, January 1 to January 31, actually, this would have to go to December 20 or February 28. But if you go to a second page, it will allow you just to continue without doing anything, unlike everything else, because we realize there are multiple pages that you may have to do. So it's a little bit hard to describe, but it allows you to work within that range. One thing that I did not mention that I just remembered with that we are working on right now, which I believe will come out in Trillium, is that we are also working on the ability to rearrange receiving pieces. And this is not limited to serials, but, and we're doing this in the simplest way possible, which is that every receiving piece will get in a number. So the very, very oldest piece at the bottom of the pile is piece number 1. And then it's just going to increment from there, and it'll allow you to shuffle around. So you can reorder just by changing the number. We're putting in guideposts to let you know exactly where it is, because I very much doubt that after it's first implemented that you will ever need to move between piece 396 and piece 4. You're probably going to be working within the last 10 to 12 pieces as supplements come in, or you need to do minor rearrangements once things are set up. So once setup could get a little bit interesting, but it shouldn't be, because we have logic to sort things. Like, it's not going to go in unsorted. We are actually sorting when we first assign the pieces. But after that, you will be able to arrange those and stay on top of that. And we're hoping that that simplifies your life quite a bit. So I'm going to hand things back to Owen to discuss the future plans for the Serials app.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, so we know one of the biggest issues with the Serials app as it stands is that essentially, if you've got, let's say, 1,000 Serials publication patterns that you're currently receiving, and you set up prediction patterns for them all, and you predict for 2026, let's say, looking forward, all of the issues that are going to come in for 2026 across all of them, that for that 1,000, you've essentially got two steps for each of those 1,000 issues. So first of all, you're creating a set of predicted pieces, or what we call a predicted piece set, which would be, let's say, a 1 year's worth of those publications, which could be any number of publications. Well, I say any number, but between 1 and 366, 365 for 2026 issues. And then you have to create the receiving pieces based on that predicted piece set. And so in a a relatively simplistic way, that's essentially two steps per every record, so 2,000 things to do, and that just gets you to the end of 2026. And then, this time next year, you're going to want to do that again for 2027, and that process is just the same again. Now, in the latest release, you can do multiple years at a time, so you could decide, okay, well, rather than do, all of that work 2 years in a row, we'll do 2 years worth of predictions right now, and that does reduce the number of steps. But obviously that's also a problem because, like, you may not know sitting here now in 2025 which are the correct, subscriptions that you will still have in 2027. And so while, like, that there may be some safe bets, there might also be a load of stuff that you just don't know if it's going to continue the subscription through 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 years, however far into the future you want to go. So that process definitely needs to become a lot easier, a lot less work, and happen, I think, more automatically or more naturally as part of the workflow. And between now and the end of 2025, we want to work with the community, and the sponsors of this work, which is GBV, to design a much better workflow for that. Now, what that looks like exactly, we don't know. So there are lots of questions that we need to answer there. There are things like subscription start and end dates in the orders app. Could we use those to make a decision about, like, if the order is open or if the order has a subscription date that goes into the next year? Could we use that to decide, like, do we generate a list of issues or not for this? As well as questions like, how can we get rid of this double action, both doing it once in serials and then essentially then using that to generate the list of receiving issues. So we and kind of from a kind of mechanical point of view, do those two things happen at once, or do are they independent? Like, does the Serials app kind of decide, let's create a year's worth now, but let's trickle that through, or 5 years worth now, but let's trickle that through to receiving just as and when it's necessary? So then you could decide, like, that might prevent a situation where you create receiving pieces too far in advance, like Joe's just talked about, like, the problems of creating a larger number of receiving pieces. Obviously the work they've done there is going to make that easier and certainly make sure that the system doesn't struggle with the number of pieces it's trying to display to you. But it's still an issue if you have, let's say, the example being several copies in different libraries of the same daily publication, then even if you're narrowing that down to a small time unit, you might still have a lot if you've created all of that annual, pieces up front. If we were to think about trickling through the predicted pieces into receiving pieces and not just create all the receiving pieces at once that we do at the moment, then obviously that could make that process a bit easier to manage. So all of those questions, like there's lots of questions, I think, about how that's going to best work for you all. And you will probably all have different views on the best way of doing it. And it's our job to try and take that information in and synthesize it into a good working practice that will work, you know, across Folio membership and Folio users. I think that if we can get that done, so the design between now and the end of the year, looking for implementation in 2026, so probably we'd be looking at that work ideally being part of Umbrella Leaf release, which is obviously, we don't have a date for that yet, but it will. We have Trillium now being released in early 2026. So we anticipate that Umbrella Leaf will also be a 2026 release, but later in the year. So time for us to do that development. It's very difficult for us to know, right, standing here right now, how much work that will be, because it might be that you all agree and say, oh, you know, it's really simple, just do it like this and we'll all be happy. And that turns out to be really simple. Experience suggests that's not the case. And what will happen is it'll be quite hard work to get a kind of agreement or a design that works for the majority of cases. And then it will be even more work to get that actually implemented. But yeah, I hope that we could look for that for Umbrella Leaf. Because of the change of the schedule, so I guess everybody's aware of this, but just in case you're not, originally we should have been, and I'm kind of thankful at this point standing here, originally we should have been doing the release of Trillium functionality this week. I'm glad not to be juggling the conference and the release at the same time. But obviously that means that the Trillium release is delayed until, rather than being at the end of this year, will now be sometime in the spring 2026. And that means that originally we didn't have any major development for serials on the Trillium slate. That might change because we do now have some more time to do some work on this. And we're discussing with GBV, who sponsor the pay for the development, what that work should look like. But I mentioned earlier that in Sunflower we have the ability to define publication pattern templates to make the creation of publication patterns much easier and quicker. In Sunflower, there's no user interface for that. So you can load them up, but you have to essentially have them defined in a machine readable format. Those of you who are into that kind of thing will know what I mean when I say it's a JSON format. While we can kind of provide examples of that and share in the community some examples to make that easier to do, ultimately, it's not great. Where we want to empower you to be able to do that directly in the system and set up your own templates without having to worry about how it's stored or the machine readable version or whatever it is. So a user interface for that. And we're also aware that we have support for combined issues at the moment. So obviously in some patterns, you'll have situations where certain issues are combined, like often the winter issue, you know, might be December, January, or it might be January, February, whatever. And also quite a lot of summer issues, especially I think European ones, where like August might not be a month where people do a lot of work, that you get a July, August, or a June, July, August summer issue for those. We support that in terms of predicting the right number of patterns, but the labeling of those issues doesn't work as required. So right now, if you were to say have a merged January, February issue in a monthly publication, you could label that issue one, January 2025, and then the next one would be issue three in March. So it would not like create a February issue. And technically behind the scenes, the way it's stored as a combined issue of January and February. But when you generate the label, it will just say issue 1 January, when you might want it to say issue 1/2 or issue 1-2 January, February. So that kind of labeling, we want to expose those, the information that we are storing behind the scenes for that combined issue, so that you can use it in your issue labeling. So much better support for those combined issues. And of course, you know, part of why we're standing here today is that we do want to start, you know, to hear from the community, the broader community, what are the key things that you'd like to prioritize. I mean, I have a spreadsheet full of things that we could do. So I know that we're not lacking in things that we can improve here. Okay. So I'll pass back to Peter, who will briefly talk about some future plans for claiming in Folio.
Yes, there are some enhancements planned for claiming too. Two German libraries at Dresden and Leipzig are preparing enhancements for claiming in cooperation with the Thunderjet team. There's also a ticket where you can see what is planned there. And I have taken the information from that ticket, what is in scope. It means that the possibility to create and configure claiming sets shall be established, and also claiming levels. Just right now, it is only possible to generate the first claim, and what does happen when the issue is still not available after you have sent the claim, so you have to claim further on. And this is an enhancement that is in scope at the Dresden and Leipzig development team. And yes, other possibilities are creating and configuring templates for reminder emails, so that claims can also be sent as emails, not only as CSV file or as EDIFACT claims. Yes, and email dispatch and export function for overdue orders. These topics are covered by the Dresden and Leipzig development team, and I guess we will hear from them in the future how their work will go on. Yes, and I think that was the end of the presentation. So we come to questions, answers, opportunities.
Yeah, so I mean, I think I will say right now, there is a serial subgroup, and we would really love to see as many of you as possible attending that group. I've just put the links on the slide here. The slides are all on SCED already, so you can download the slides from there with these links in. You can add your topics to the future topics, but also if you ask questions now and you say, oh, can we get that added? We can take away an action to add stuff as well to future topics. So questions, discussion, points, I think. Yes, go ahead.
My name is I'm a serial SAP. Apologies, this is a very basic question. If we wanted to use serial SAP and do the claiming and the binding, is it necessary to have everything attached to a PO?
So the question is, to use serials and claiming and binding, is it necessary to have a PO available? And the answer, I think it's fair to say, is yes. Receiving pieces, there has to be a purchase order that they're attached to, or a purchase order title that they're attached to. From the serial side, you can have a publication pattern without it being linked to the order, but that's of limited use to you. You could do things like generate predicted pieces and output them to a spreadsheet, but you know, it's not help. I think, like for most of us in day-to-day operations, that's not going to be helpful. The design is there, but the But in terms of using it in a Folio, joined up way in Folio, yes, you need a purchase order available.
There's a question in the chat about receiving app display once pieces are received and received. Are there plans to set a default order by chronology? That also came up, and we discussed back and forth because chronology can be straightforward, but it's not always straightforward. And when it's not straightforward, that sort gets very, very challenging. So what we're doing instead is simply assigning a value to every receiving piece so that you can manage that sort at a very granular level. We have a basic logic that will make it work. And when generating pieces in the Serials app, they will feed into the receiving app by default in their correct proper order. So you don't have to mess with that. So the short answer is it is not exactly by chronology, but you do have the ability to set that order yourself. And as new pieces are created, particularly using the receiving app will feed that in the correct order.
Yeah, I think also it's interesting to talk about sorting by chronology. One of the challenges, I think, in Folio is that for historical reasons, if you like, as far as Folio history goes, we've ended up with a situation where there's just one enumeration and one chronology field for a piece. And so it would be, well, from my perspective, I kind of would like to see that change so we can do more granular work there. And then you could talk about like ordering by, say, enumeration. Like at the moment, that enumeration field is just a text field. So if you ordered it by enumeration, if it used a different terminology for volume versus issue, or the label was, you know, where you put how you deal with that enumeration, like, is going to make a difference to how it sorts, and it's not a numerical sort and it's a textual sort and all kinds of issues. So like, it would be great if we had maybe a different approach there, but the cost now of doing that is quite high because it needs to be coordinated across what we do in Serials, what receiving has stored as a piece, and what goes into inventory and what goes into discovery. And so like coordinating that and having development resource to deliver all parts of that, as well as agreement across the community about how it should work in all different places, is exactly the reason that we think that Serial subgroup is needed, to be able to have those discussions and to see those priorities, not just like from the perspective of like, oh, I as a product owner of Serials would love to see that as a high priority, but that you as a group can say, yes, and we need input from you, whether you work in metadata management, whether you work in discovery, whether you work in acquisitions and Serials receipt. We can't see that big picture unless we get input from all of those perspectives. And you know, this is why, you know, it's great to see a lot of people here. It'd be great to see you in the Serials group meetings as well going forward. Other questions? Or just moans. If you want to like just moan about something, I'm up for that as well. Yes, at the back. Okay, there's the question about using the agreements app and the licenses app in relation to Serials. So everything we've talked about here this morning, and maybe the title of the talk could have been clearer, really is, I would say typically, is about print Serials. So what we're talking about here is being able to, you could use it for electronic Serials. You could, if you wanted, check in an electronic Serial and the system won't care. But I don't think most people do that day to day. The agreements and licensing apps are there to deal with electronic resources and serials and books and databases. And for those, they work in tandem. I won't go into them in detail here, although I'm also the product owner for those. I happen to be the product owner for those as well. So come and talk to me afterwards if you want a bit more of information about them. But again, they can link up with orders, but they manage, they don't tend to worry about individual issues, but more about the subscription to the online resources, whether that's a package of resources or an individual resource. And the licenses for recording the terms that cover it and the agreements record the actual content that is covered by the subscription.
If I could just add to that one quick side note, because I am deeply involved with the receiving / claiming side of things. One thing we have not discussed in any sort of detail, which I do know is kind of simmering under the surface, is the whole question of electronic claiming. So please do feel free to show up and to the serial subgroup, because there is a lot that we don't know. And that's why we've created the subgroup, to figure out, you know, where are the gaps? And does there need to be a conversation about electronic claiming? And if so, whose responsibility is that? And how should that look? I have no idea, but it's important to have these conversations. So I would very much encourage you to show up, get that on the, put that on our things to talk about list if that's something you're interested in. Because the relationship between print and electronic serials, are we siloing them too much? Is there room for overlap? Should they be siloed? So again, these are conversations that are very much worth having. So thank you for raising it. So the question is, does the claiming app require a claiming integration, or is it only for if you have an EDIFACT? The short answer is yes, it does require an integration. However, if you go into your organization's app to create a default profile, or to create an integration, by default, it's going to set up a claim, like if you just click create and then save, it will create a downloaded CSV file integration for claims. So that is literally all you have to do. And we made that simple on purpose. So if you're creating an ordering integration, you want to take a look and make sure you switch it to ordering. If you want EDIFACT, you want to make sure you switch it. If you do absolutely nothing, just click the button and then click save, you will get a CSV download for claiming for that integration, because we don't want to make you do any extra work. And someone's like, do I really need an integration for this? But because the whole thing is managed by the export manager, which generates the file and then outputs it, we have to give export manager instructions on what to do and how to do it. And that's why we need that integration, because the integration gives it those instructions. So we just decided to make it two clicks and you're done.
I have a similar question about the claiming aspect. So it's kind of a Folio, kind of an EBSCO question. So with EBSCO Net, there's a service, the JET service, where the serials can go to EBSCO first, and then they'll do the claiming within EBSCO Net. But then we would have to redo that data entry in Folio. So I'm wondering if there's any thoughts on integrations from third-party systems like EBSCO Net back into Folio, instead of Folio out.
Yeah. So the question is, are there any conversations, or is there any information on using third-party providers who manage some of that claiming, so that it goes from the provider into Folio rather than just going from Folio out? The short answer is, right now, today, there are not, but it's been on my mind. That is something I would very much like to see happen. I would love for the ability to be able to ingest external claim information, external, it would probably be some sort of edifact, but I'm not 100% sure. I would also need more. I mean, because I work for EBSCO, I can easily reach out to EBSCOnet and say, hey, let's do this. But because Folio is an open system, if anybody knows of other providers, that would be very useful to us in terms of understanding how that would work so we can build proper open tools. So right now there is no solution, but it is also very much the sort of thing that we are extremely interested in hearing about, because anything that makes your work more efficient is of great interest to us. Are there any further questions? Because I believe we are just about at lunchtime and I don't want to keep anyone from food. There are no hands up. So thank you all very much for coming. Please do go to check out the presentation, check out the serial subgroup. We really look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.